When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
Yep.
Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York.
Yep.
The ESPN New York app.
Yep.
Or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN. This is DiPietro and Rothenberg.
The birthday boy, Field Yates. We started to hear rumblings about the Giants moving up. What are you hearing?
I, in my heart of hearts, believe the Giants' best course of action is to sit there at number 6 overall, and if J.J. McCarthy makes it to them, have a thoughtful conversation about whether you should take him and then obviously move on from Daniel Jones, most likely after this season, or if you just take Malik Nabers or Roma Dunze, who I think will be there waiting for them at pick number 6, because each of those players absolutely merits a 6th overall pick, I'd be all in on either of those wideouts at number 6.
This is DiPietro and Rothenberg on 98.7 ESPN.
Oh, yes, we join hands. It's a love train because the New York Knicks are up 2-0. Couple of quick emails to read, and then we'll get back to the Knicks callers because up 2-0 is pretty darn special. Matt Sorrentino emails in, have we confirmed that Field and RJ are not the same person? Look alike, sound very similar, and conveniently RJ's, quote, on vacation when Field calls into the show. Maybe this is something to look into.
That's a great point.
Yes.
It's a great point. What's scary about this whole Field Yates situation is now you got to keep your mouth shut.
Who, me?
He's got a loyal listener, buddy of his,
but
listens every day.
It's not like I'm trolling him. I think that when we do the Where They Go to College game, I will beat him.
Right, but you don't even know. That's the problem, though. You don't know what you say. You get in these moments where you're in a corner and you attack everybody.
But do you remember me? I didn't go after him. I think I'll beat him in that. That's not attacking him. That's not anything negative.
I just don't want to see you say anything silly that affects our relationship.
I like Field. I think he's good, and I like that he's a friend of the show.
Yeah, we love Field, and I would absolutely love to have you guys go head to head.
Mano a mano. Be a lot of stress, though.
Yeah, that's fine, though. You can handle the stress.
Listen, I handle stress every day.
Stop.
What do you mean?
That's not nice.
What does that mean?
Because I know what you're insinuating.
Well, I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, right.
Phil D. emails in, tell that guy Nick to stop whining. I have also very little interest in basketball, yet you guys are so entertaining. I listen to all 4 hours every day. If I missed a minute, I wouldn't know why you keep calling him Armani or saying breakfasts. Keep up the great work. Bleep that guy.
Yes.
Phil D.
Yes. Yeah,
that's right. Let's get back to the Knicks. I mean, we've discussed it for the majority of the morning. What a win, because you had that game was over. In fact, Raymond has a story that he's going to use in Sim. I don't want to ruin it, but Philadelphia was literally saying the game was done, their announcers, and clearly it was not. To find that level of desperation at the end of that game and dig deep and get that win really was almost nothing short of miraculous. It's one of the great wins in the history of the franchise.
It's one of the great wins, and it's completely changed how we'd be talking about that game today.
Completely changed.
Completely changed it. Because we would be focused on Jalen Brunson struggling again. And now fearful that if that continues with a series tied 1-1 going back to Philly and the amount of confidence that Philly would have now. Because Joel Embiid did have a good game and Tyrese Maxey did have another good game and Jalen Brunson didn't. So for them to pull it out the way that they pulled it out, for Josh Hart to play every second of that game, to be as good as he was in the first half of the game. You know, Deuce. Bogdanovich early in the fourth quarter hits a couple threes. It's what Hartenstein did in the second half, 7-for-7, the offensive rebound on the game-winning three from DiVincenzo. It's all these guys. You said this earlier in the show. Game one, it was Mitchell Robinson. He was great in game one. Game two now, it's Isaiah Hartenstein stepping up in a big spot. DiVincenzo, right? Bad first game. didn't play the fourth quarter, to now all of a sudden game two stepping up.
It's always someone. But that's what we've seen all year long. When Randall went down, it was going to be Brunson, and then who's going to step up? Well, you know what? Now it really hasn't been Brunson. It's been who's going to step up. Game one, McBride, Bogdanovich. Game two, DiVincenzo, McBride, Hartenstein. But I think that's why this city and this fan base loves this team, because it's always somebody. If I would have told you that Maxey, and you're right, you mentioned this earlier, Maxey and Embiid would clearly be the best two players in games one and two, you would. There's no way you'd think the Knicks are up 2-0 going back to Philly.
No, no chance. And I think you got to, if you're the Sixers, you got to be asking yourselves, like, what the hell do we have to do here? All the things coming out of game one that we said we wanted to work on, we, for the most part, we fixed. We got killed on the glass in game one. We fixed that, right? We have to continue to make it hard for Jalen Brunson. We did that. Joel Embiid and Tyrese Maxey have to play well for us. We did that. We got to limit the Knicks bench scoring. We did that. We had a 5-point lead with 47 seconds left, and
we still lost.
And we blew it.
You know what? Take a timeout. Be a little tougher on the glass. It doesn't get any discussion.
How about
too?
Box someone out?
Right. Is the block by Hartenstein?
That was huge.
I mean, that was because you still had the thought of, oh my God. Now, I like, you know what I actually like what Philly did? They went fast. Like, rather than take this, you know, if it goes in, great. If not, we're done kind of a situation, give yourself time. They set up the play they wanted. They went right. They got to the basket, right at the basket. And Hartenstein came up with, just the biggest block of his NBA career.
Monster block. And had the biggest offensive rebound.
Yeah.
So, Terrific stuff. Then OG secured the rebound.
Terrific stuff. And they almost lost it when they were down five. They almost lost the ball and DiVincenzo dug it out.
Yeah. And then he actually is the one that kicked it out to Brunson.
Yeah. And then he hits that three, which barely goes in. And then you get the steal. And you know, it's stopping. I got an email to say Nick Nurse was clearly calling timeout. No, he was not.
No, Nick Nurse was prepared to call a timeout. And then as soon as he saw Tyrese Maxey get the ball and look like he had possession, he put his hands down and then realized Maxey was in trouble. And at that point, he didn't have clear possession of the ball anyway, as he's on his side trying to make a pass.
No.
It's on the player, too.
It's on all of them.
Right. As a player, you got
to
know.
It's a gross way to end a game if you're Philadelphia.
And it's not like they had one chance. It's not like DiVincenzo got the ball thrown out and he made that three, the initial three. He didn't. He missed it. And you got Nick Batum just standing there. Right, Joel Embiid loses. Like, I think Joel Embiid ended up boxing out Josh Hart, and Hartenstein comes flying through the middle and gets that offensive rebound. They got close games out, man.
Yeah, that's really bad for them. I mean, listen, it's good for us, but it's bad for them. You're up by five with 46 seconds. There is no excuse not to win that game. None.
No, right. Like, it's one of those ones, I'm telling you, where you go into a game with all the different keys to the game, and for the most part, you took care of all those keys.
And you still lost.
Brunson
was awful, and you still lost that game. Maxey was terrific. Embiid was really good. Brunson was awful. You had a 5-point lead with 46 seconds to go, and you still lost the game.
And you still lost.
Yeah. Let's go to Nick in Wilmington. Good morning, Nick. You're on 98.7. Nick in Wilmington. Good morning, Nick.
Oh, can you hear me?
Got you now. Go ahead, buddy.
Oh, good morning, fellas. First time, long time. You guys are literally the best. I know everybody says that, but I genuinely mean that.
You know what? You never get tired of hearing it, so we appreciate you. Thank you.
Absolutely. So I got a couple takes I'd like to make. One being, I've been a Villanova fan for about 2 decades now, and I think JB bounces back in a real way moving to Philadelphia, where his college was based out of, and they play at least 2 or 3 games at that arena a year, I feel like. I think he bounces back in a real way, and we need him to, obviously.
I'm not concerned at all about Brunson. I'm really not. And I don't know. Thanks for the call, Nick. I don't know what the consensus is from everyone, but I have complete confidence that Brunson will fight back.
Yeah, well, I had the same confidence after game one that he would find a way and fight back, and he didn't.
He did not.
No. So I'm going to keep saying this to you, is this is great, and it's a positive that he hasn't played well, and we're up 2-0. If he can figure it out. Because if he can't, and we're going to rely on everybody else every game
to win this series. You're not going to go that far.
Right.
It's not gonna play out. You're totally right. 100%. Let's go to Steve in Jersey. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, guys. How are we doing?
We're doing. Go ahead. We're in good shape here this morning. Very good shape.
So I got a fraud question for you, Dave.
Yeah.
I'm a sports nut, just like everybody who listens to this show. But the NBA has never really been my thing. I always liked the Lakers because I like Magic. But this team is just winning me over. Am I a fraud if I change from, like, I always followed Magic, Jordan, Shaq, Kobe. I loved every team. I love this team. This team is just, I'm a college basketball fan.
Right.
The Nova guys are crazy.
I mean, do you look at yourself as a Lakers fan? Like, if I said, who do you root for? You'd be like, oh, I'm a Lakers fan? Or are you just someone that doesn't really love the NBA?
I'm a casual NBA fan. I mean, I'm a diehard Cowboy fan. I'm a Yankee fan. But I casual NBA. But this team, there's no way you can't
think you
love
can,
this
if
team.
If you don't really have a team and you're a casual NBA fan, listen, I wouldn't consider you like a diehard Knicks fan, but I think you can jump onto the Knicks bandwagon now, yeah.
Okay, because I was a little nervous that I was jumping. I thought you were going to call me a fraud. And why isn't OG covering Maxi?
Well, they've had him on him.
They're having a hard time slowing him down, man. He's so fast.
He's so quick.
he's a terrific player.
This team's the type of team that you just got to jump on board. Thanks.
They're hard not to root for, man. I'm telling you, like, it's all the things that you look for in a team to support. They have it. They're finally well run. Leon Rose has made a ton of great decisions. Tibbs, the way he has them playing every night, how hard they compete. Like, in a league that you have to incentivize, you know, players with more money, as much money as they make, you have to incentivize them with more money to actually take the 82 regular season games seriously. They do it. That's who they are. That's their identity. That's the culture that they created. You got to kill this team, man. This team is not dead. They refuse to die.
Right. To beat them, you have to kill them.
So, and they got, they all like each other. It's
very
a really
well
good group.
Formulated.
It's a really good group.
Dan in Jersey. Good morning, Dan. How are you?
Good morning, Dave. Good morning, Rick. How are you guys today?
How do you think we're doing today? I'm better than him because he's dealing with the emotional stress of the Islanders and that collapse, but I'm not, so I'm in a great mood.
So do you think, Rick, quick Islander question, do you think they go Ilya game three?
I would go Sorokin. That's what I would do.
That's a brutal collapse. I want the Islanders to win because I want Rangers Islanders second round. But the Knicks, that was an exhilarating win last night. I truly think that the Garden is the best arena in all of sports. It's better than Fenway. It's better than Wrigley. It's better than Lambeau. The atmosphere there, night in, night out in the playoffs, is incredible. The fans show up every night, and that win last night was just exhilarating. I mean, they were down 5 with a minute left, and a lot of people are going to say it was a foul. It wasn't a foul. 76ers fans can keep complaining all they want. But when they're out of the playoffs, their complaining isn't going to matter.
The Garden is awesome. You're right. And thanks for the call. It's just a phenomenal place. I mean, to see a concert, to watch the Rangers, to see the Knicks. It's just, I mean, Ray could tell you he was there last night. I mean, Ray couldn't sleep. Rick, the guy goes home, he produces the game. He's so wired. He got 0 winks of sleep last night.
I'm sure if I was in the building, so the beauty of being at these events is, like, you find yourself, like, I'm watching this game at home last night and by myself, and, you know, great things happen, and it's, you kind of like looking around, who do I celebrate with? There's no one to celebrate with. It's just me. You're at one of these events, people, you have no idea who they are. You're high-fiving. Like, you get to experience that all with, you know, people that are all rooting for the same thing. Last game I went to like this was probably, with this kind of level of excitement that I was at, was when the Islanders beat the Panthers and got out of the first round finally, when Tavares scored that goal.
Mm-hmm.
And I found myself in an instant, like, in the arms of a security guard.
Well, now, were you hugging him, or you, like, leapt into his arms and he was holding you like a wife on a wedding night?
Like, I jumped in Kay's arms at the roast.
Oh, really?
I jumped right in his arms to celebrate, yeah. I was that fired up.
That's nice to think about. Raymond?
Yes.
I mean, last night was special for you, right?
These last 3 days have been awesome.
You ever
just
pinch
awesome.
Yourself and think like, I'm watching my teams and I'm getting paid to sit here?
I actually
this.
Do it quite often. Like, I love both these teams. In, you know, more so in the Knicks case than the Rangers case, but, like, the past few years, it's been a struggle. Like, there have been times where it's just been tough to watch, but we do it. And it feels like this is almost, like, rewarding for that.
Right. Like there have been times over the last, many years that it's been work. And now it's it's incredible what you're getting to experience.
Oh, don't get me wrong. I never thought of it as work because it's still like, you know, there's not many of these jobs available. And it's still something very cool to do, even when the team was bad. But now it's on a whole other level. It's just outstanding.
Well, good for you and good for us. Are you ready for stuff you missed?
I think so.
Well, it doesn't sound like you're overly confident. You know,
I was just racking something up last second for it.
I'm going to ask you again.
Sure.
Are you ready for stuff you missed?
I am, Dave.
Raymond, go.
Now.
See ya.
Bang!
Touchdown!
Rebound score!
The you missed.
So, I mean, I got to say, as that game was winding down, I thought it was over. I thought we were going back to Philly 1-1. I'm looking for ways to rationalize it. Like, okay, we can still, you know, figure this out. We can get a game back there and then bring it back and we'll be okay. That all changed, obviously, when that sequence went down at the end. And I'm going to play some audio for you. First, I'm going to give you our call by Pat O'Keefe here, as heard on 98.7 ESPN.
Inbound is knocked away by Maxey. Gets the ball back. Falls to the floor. Stolen by Hart. DiVincenzo, three-pointer, no good. Hartenstein, the offensive rebound. He kicks it out to Anunoby. DiVincenzo again. Knocks it down! Knicks lead! 13 seconds to go! Timeout, Philadelphia!
And you can hear,
good
like...
Good call Pat, from Pat.
Yeah, Pat had some hesitation there. We talked about it after, like, because we kept waiting for, like, play to be stopped, a whistle to be blown. We were not hearing whistles in the fourth quarter. That's how loud the building was getting. So we thought, like, okay, like, I was courtside, but I had the same thoughts. Like, okay, this play's blown dead. No, it's not. It's still going. It's still going. Okay, fine. So, good call by Pat there, right?
Did you try your horse
really
whistle?
Good call.
You maybe should have brought your horse
You're
whistle.
You're terrible. You're terrible.
Sorry.
And here's Mike Breen that you were talking about. Double bang.
Hartenstein, the rebound. Hartenstein gets it out to Anunoby. DiVincenzo, a three. Bang! Bang! Knicks take a one-point lead with 13 seconds remaining.
That's
you get
on MSG.
The, you get the double bang. That's a rarity for Breen. That
it's
was
like a
great
Saturday
call.
Night for Santiago. Yeah. Santi, you need that. You actually need that.
You should. You know what? You should have the audio of that in the half bedroom.
Goodness. Right. Goodness. Yeah. That's well done. And now I'm going to give you the other side of it. Not the actual play, but sort of like the seconds before disaster sort of thing. So here's Ala Abdennaby. You remember
Allah
him?
Abdelnaby, right.
Abdelnaby. Abdelnaby.
Abdelnaby. Yeah,
okay.
From Duke. He went to Duke. Yep.
He went to Duke. Mm-hmm. The Pharaoh, they called him, if I remember. Anyway, he's the analyst for the 76ers television, along with Kate Scott on NBC Sports Philly. And here they are after Kyle Lowry's free throws. The Sixers are up 101-96 with 47.3 seconds left.
Getting home court advantage by winning one of the two games on the road. Job done. Let's head down to the turnpike.
Lowry splits them. Stay tuned. Post-game live. It's going to be fun. Brunson pushing off. No whistle.
And then
what
you
is
know
the
what
matter
happened.
With them?
What is wrong with these two?
I mean, no, seriously. We got to dissect this.
There's 47 seconds left.
You have the whole night to celebrate and be excited with the win. Why would you say it could be a great ride back to the turnpike and then, you know, post-game show is going to be fun? What is the matter with these
ride
people?
Ride down the turnpike.
Play that again. Well, because here's the thing.
Play it in a loop.
Hold on. This is me and Dave on the call. Dave says something stupid like that. I probably reprimand him.
Absolutely.
Not only was there no reprimand, it's going to be a fun post-show.
No, she post-game. Joined in the party.
She joined right in.
Yeah. Play that again.
Home court advantage by winning one of the two games on the road. Job done. Let's head down to the turnpike.
Lowry splits them. Stay tuned. Post-game live. It's going to be fun. Brunson pushing off. No whistle.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
That's worse than the brooms.
You couldn't wait 45 seconds?
That's worse than the broom.
That is
100%.
Oh, that is awesome. Now, the brooms will forever go down as one of my most hated moments ever. But this was incredible.
That's wild that they said that.
But how could you? I mean, I'm not saying it's a common occurrence, but you've seen teams come back from down 5 points with 45 seconds left.
Right. It wasn't unheard of at that point.
It was 13, you say, all right, this game is over. It was a two-possession game.
I think I saw the win probability was like at 4%. Like, it was still there, but it's not unheard of.
You can't say the game is over.
Right.
Oh, that is brutal. Where'd you find that nugget? That's a good job by you.
That was circulating on Twitter, so Twitter's still good for some things. Great 3 days at the Garden. Rangers looking to make it four. Game two against the Caps right here, 98.7 ESPN. Pre-game coverage, Don LaGreca, 6:30. Kenny Albert, Dave Maloney on that one. Sabres brought Lindy Ruff back for a second stint. He was the last coach to lead Buffalo to the playoffs, doing so back in 2011. Coached them from 1997 to 2013. 64 years old, Lindy Ruff was fired by the Devils after 61 games this year.
He's back. Back in Buffalo.
He is back. Did you
guys... some new blood, could we please?
This is what the NHL does, though, no?
Yeah, just keep recycling, guys. Yeah. Let's go.
Jamal Murray, buzzer beater, caps the Nugget 20-point comeback over the Lakers. A 15-foot step-back jumper at the buzzer. 101-99 and gives Denver the 2-0 series lead.
Crushing. That is a crushing loss.
Crushing. And LeBron... also not happy with the NBA officiating, really the NBA Replay Center. Here's King James after the game.
I don't understand what's going on in the Replay Center, to be honest. I think I said it this year or last year or whatever. D'Lo clearly gets hit in the face on a drive. What the f*** do we have a Replay Center if it's going to go? It doesn't make sense to me. It makes no sense to me. It bothers me. Sorry I didn't answer your question, but that is like... And then I just saw what happened with the Sixers-Knicks game, too. What are we doing?
There's a bunch of plays he could be talking about with Nick Sixers, though. With Nick Sixers, he could be talking about a lot of plays because the replay, you'll remember, before everything went down, they called a foul on the Sixers. Sixers challenged, and they overturned it.
And then they wound up with the basketball.
And it looked like a clear foul. I don't know what they saw to overturn it. But,
and then they wound up with the basketball. Right. I thought that was a bad call as well.
But the play LeBron is talking about in his game was in the third quarter. Michael Porter Jr. fouled D'Angelo Russell. They called it on the court. Denver challenged, and it was overturned. So, same sort of deal.
The great John Winthrop, who is he?
He's our boss.
Yeah, he's our boss and our friend. He said, do you have the end of the game called by Philadelphia? And their epic collapse. He said that might be fun as a part two.
I can bring that up for you.
Yeah, that'd be nice. I'd like to hear that if you can, maybe the next segment.
Kansas City Chiefs, extensions for Andy Reid, as well as GM Brett Veach and team president Mark Donovan. The team did not say how long the deals would last or provide any other details, but you got to assume all three of them are sitting pretty. 49ers GM says he's having good talks with receiver Brandon Ayuk. He's scheduled to play 2024 on a fifth-year option, but John Lynch says he's communicated on many occasions and says our wish is that he's here and part of the Niners for the rest of his career. I know, Dave, he was at one point the apple of your eye.
Yes, I would like the Giants to ring in Brandon Ayuk. I saw somebody the other day on Twitter said, would you trade the 6th pick for Ayuk? Like, no. Are you out of your mind?
You know what I love about this time of year? That wild scenarios get thrown out. I got a buddy of mine as a Giants fan. I saw a post that Giants trade back from 6 to 12 with the Broncos. Get the 12th overall
pick. Patrick Surtain.
Get Patrick Surtain. Yeah, you're going to get a first rounder, multiple picks after that, and Patrick Surtain. Yeah,
I'll do it. I'm here for it.
Rick, I made sure not to do it this time. Nelly Korda, she's going to withdraw from the LPGA event next week in L.A. She's going to put her bid for a historic 6th straight win on hold. This is the JM Eagle L.A. Championship she's withdrawing from. She said in a statement, she's citing grinding through the mental and physical challenges of 4 events in the past 5 weeks and said, I'm definitely feeling exhausted.
Yeah, you want to give yourself the best chance. She's probably mentally just tapped out. Take a week off. It's fine.
And that's it. Raymond's done. Nice job, Raymond. You're really holding your own with RJ not being there.
I'm doing my best. Like I said, I'm doing this on no sleep.
Yeah, and you got to carry Bauer, too.
Yeah, because Bauer kind of borderline stinks, right?
Wow. I don't think this is going to make him like you.
I'm not trying to make him like me. He picked a side.
What you got to understand about Dave is once he finds out, it doesn't. Now it's over.
If he was on our side, I would go to battle for Bauer. But he's not, and now I won't. All right, let's take a break. Ray, if you could grab that audio from Philly.
I've actually got it handy, but we can hear it on the other side.
We'll play it when we get back and get to, you know what, more of your Knicks calls because it was a special night at the Garden. More DNR with you right here on 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I think they're listening to me.
They're everywhere, Dave.
I know you're here.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want.
Woohoo! Over here!
Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
See, now he's ready for the Rangers. You see what this guy does? He's always thinking. From brakes to exhaust kits and beyond, eBay Motors has over 122 million parts to keep your ride or die alive. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to bring home that big win. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Rick, what we've done now is we have the highs and the lows of the 76ers broadcast, courtesy of NBC Sports in Philadelphia. Would you like to hear the highs and the lows?
Oh, I would love to hear it.
All right. Well, apparently with 45 seconds left, the game was, in fact, over. Here they are.
Getting home court advantage by winning one of the two games on the road. Job done. Let's head down to the turnpike.
Lowry splits him. Stay tuned. Post-game live. It's going to be fun. Brunson pushing off. No whistle.
All right. So there's the high. So, I mean, it's over, right? 45 seconds, which is shocking to me. 45 seconds left. Two-possession game. The other team has the ball, and you proclaim the game is over. It's wild.
Wild.
Wild. But they do, and it's over. And, oh, post-game live is going to be fun. Listen to the call now, and listen to just the lack of, it sounded like they didn't even care. The lack of emotion in this call is amazing. Here you go.
Brunson has missed his last six shots. As that one rolls in.
He's strong with the ball. Anticipate grabbing and holding.
Maxey had it and then gets thrown to the floor. Nick Nurse is calling time, and John Gobel waves it off. Hartenstein, the rebound. Shot clock is off. DiVincenzo for three. And Dante DiVincenzo gives the Knicks the lead.
Wow. I mean, can I? I know it's Philly. That's a brutal call.
It's a brutal call. You know what that is, though?
Homer radio?
That's
Homer
guilt.
TV?
That's guilt is what that is.
What, because they called it over?
Because they realized they messed up.
But come on, you talk about being a homer. So think about, well, Nick Nurse is calling timeout. They're ignoring him. It's such a great line. And then they throw Kyle Lowry to the ground?
It's unbelievable. That is unbelievable.
You talk about a homer. And they made it sound so unexciting.
No emotion at all.
None.
It had to be because they realized they screwed up.
I don't think so. I think they felt heartsick of what was happening.
I think Rick is totally right. I think Rick is 100% on the ball. I think they felt immediate remorse.
You think that they thought to themselves, man, we really screwed up here, and now we just won't react to when the Knicks take over the game?
I don't think they knew how to react. It's a tough spot to be.
They're going to get crushed.
They should get crushed.
How do you say that?
I mean, and then to follow it up with that, I mean, Nick Nurse is calling it. I watched the video side by side of a camera on Nick Nurse and the play taking place, and he never called timeout until it was too late. So she's sitting there saying, like, he took time out, but they're ignoring him is absurd.
Yeah,
and then they throw him to the court?
I don't even know what to say. I don't know how you get up from that.
I don't know that you can. After proclaiming the game was over just moments ago.
I think maybe I take some time off after that call.
Will you take a sabbatical?
Yeah, like Rick's going to step away.
Now, Hanky Haynes tweets in. He says, why would the Philadelphia broadcast team be excited for an epic late last-minute collapse in a playoff game? I guarantee you, if that's Pat O'Keefe, if that's Mike Breen, if that's anybody from the Garden, you had no emotion. No emotion. You made it sound like it was a preseason contest between – you hear the crowd screaming, and you said you had less emotion than anything I've ever heard in my life. It's a brutal call.
It has to be because they have no idea how to react in that situation.
Well, then say that. Say we're sitting here so stunned that this just took place that we can't even put words to what's just happened.
They just got done with 47 seconds left saying, hey, game's over.
Right.
Job well done.
Game's over. Well, not so fast.
Let's hit the turnpike. Should be a great post show. Lots of fun.
Wow. What a call that is, huh? All right. 1-800-919-3776. I mean, the phone lines are open. We'll do a big, fancy melange in about 10 minutes from right now. Ken in Connecticut. Good morning, Ken. You're on 98.7.
Good morning, boys. You know I love the show. Love you guys. But I have to say, Dave, I am disappointed in you this morning just a bit. You know, you moved away from who you are. You have to make that call to Gunling. Like, that's what you're all about. That's what, you know, the fans want to hear.
No, Ken, you're wrong. That has the potential to do what the call on that Philly broadcast did for them.
Yeah, I don't want to be that duo that poisons my own team.
Okay, so what was your take on, say, the Knicks fans after game one saying, you know, we want Boston outside of MSG? Like, are you cool with that?
Truthfully, I don't love it. And again, I think you need to enjoy the moment. I don't want to be thinking about conference finals. I mean, there's a lot to go in this series. So I'm certainly not there. I wouldn't have done it, but I guess if there's people that want to do that, that's fine. I mean, you can go ahead and make that chant if you'd like, but I would never have done that.
Yeah, it can backfire. I was at Holy Cross in Worcester, Massachusetts in 2004, and telling the whole entire state to do something to themselves that, you know, only married people that love each other kind of do. And it didn't work out so well for me. So I get it. But I just wanted to call and say, you know, a little disappointed.
Beautiful, beautiful Worcester, Mass, huh, Ken?
It was great, Rick. It was great.
Oh, yeah.
So let me ask you a question. Yankees up three games to none. You're mouthing off to everybody that comes in earshot of you. Yankees lose four games in a row. Did you have to leave school? What happened?
The truth is, my friend and I, we actually got into the only fight on campus that night after the epic collapse. It got a little interesting after that. But no, it was tough to walk around after that. I'll be honest, sure it was. For the rest of the year.
I'm sure it was. And thanks for the call. But here's the thing. That had never happened, right? We'd never seen that happen. So I think that I never want to do that till it's over. But that had never happened before. 5-point lead with 45 seconds is not unheard of to blow that kind of a lead.
Right. But the point is why not just wait the 47 seconds?
Of course.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you can say the same exact thing once the game's over. Job well done. You did what you came to do. You split the series. Now let's hit the turnpike.
We'll see you on the turnpike.
That's it. Right? Like, wait till it's over.
Because they couldn't control themselves.
Listen, I'm going to tell you what. You know how I feel about sports karma and sports gods and everything else. I made a statement at the end of the next season when they won that final game. I'd have a real problem with the sports gods if this didn't turn out the right way.
Yeah, see, now they're helping us out.
Got to tell you. First two games with Jalen Brunson struggling the way that he's struggling and us finding ways. Feels pretty good.
Maybe these are the sports gods saying to the Knicks, you played it the right way. And I will reward you for it.
Maybe. I don't want to see the alternative where all of a sudden we make the mistake of calling Gunling, you start rubbing it in his face and get out of line, and before you know it, we lose the series.
See, now you understand. Now you get it.
But now we're the jerks.
But if the Knicks win the series and we call, and then they lose the next... No, but then they lose the next series, you can be like, see, now you poison the next series.
No, you can't poison the next series. You taunted an Eagles fan. Eagles won. Okay, we can taunt the Philly fan once the Philly wants the Sixers lose.
Because it's more about, hey, we won, and less about, ha-ha, look what happened to you.
Right.
It's more we won.
But the problem is that Gunling's a real nice guy.
That's fine.
That's the other part of it, too. I don't want to do that to me. I don't want to dunk on Gunling. I don't think he deserves it.
Well, I'll dunk right in his face.
You say that, though, Ray. Don't you and Gunling have this back and forth Cowboys-Eagles where you go after each other?
Yeah,
during
but that's
the weeks
different.
Of,
that's different.
Well, how's that different?
Because it's just strictly limited the Cowboys-Eagles, and even then, we have a mutual understanding on the other side of that, and how we both dislike the Giants. So we kind of get along in that
sense. You deserve each other.
Okay, there it is.
The two of you deserve each other. Carpe omnia. We're going to go all in. His poop-eating team. Ridiculous. You know, let's call him. Call him. Get him on the phone.
No, don't. Do not. Just get, listen.
I'm going to go right after him.
No, keep your composure here.
I have no composure.
We have two wins left, okay? Keep your composure.
And then we call him, and we take his face, and we rub it right in it.
Right in it.
Right in it.
Yes.
All right.
Are you willing to, never have lunch with him again?
Yep.
Excellent point brought up by Mike Brouncher. Are you willing to never have lunch with Gunling again? Because that's what will happen.
Why? Why would that happen?
It's not going to happen. Gunling can separate fandom from friendship. Stop.
Yeah, I'm a good friend to Gunling. There's no way that he would end the friendship over that.
You guys still go to lunch, and Dave busts your chops every single day about Dallas.
This is true.
Right,
The close to every show is a mockery towards the Cowboys.
As long as you admit that.
Of course it is. It's carpe omnia, baby.
Can we change that at some point?
He's not changing it.
At some point we will. But now we will not.
All right.
Listen, it won't be when the Giants play the Cowboys, I can tell you that much.
We're going to get you
won't
at some
be that
point.
Week. Yeah, at some point you will be because that's at some point you're going to win that game,
Unless it's January, and then we know we'll get you.
You have to play in January.
Soil yourselves.
They were tired. They were tired. Okay?
It was a long season. Long season.
All right. Season.
Let's break. We'll come back. We'll do the melange, which means you want to go Yankees, Mets. We haven't even touched on the Mets. Knicks, Rangers, Islanders, 1-800-919-3776. We're here for you. 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the DPetro and Rothenberg podcast. Looking for more access to the show?
Why? Because you know why.
Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And, boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season.
Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
All right, DNR with you, 98.7 ESPN. Phenomenal stuff. Knicks with a great win. Islanders with a brutal loss. Rangers back in action tonight. Yankees, brutal loss. Brutal what happened to Aaron Boone. Mets did not play well. Quintana was not very good last night, and they lose late in San Francisco. But I guess the two main things that we have going on right now are, I guess three really, are the three postseason teams, and that is the Knicks, number one, the Rangers, and the Islanders. But Knicks, great win. Rangers look to take complete control tonight, and the Islanders are, I think it's fair to say, in big trouble right now.
Big trouble, yeah. Big trouble. They played well in game one, had a couple different opportunities in game one. Game two, 3-0 lead, and then it was kind of just to buckle up and hold on, and hopefully we can steal this one. And just it felt like a matter of time.
It's a dangerous way to play, though.
Yeah, you can't play that way. You can't. I mean, on the road, getting five shots in two periods, one in the third, it's against a team like Carolina. It was going to be too hard.
Yeah, because then you get the ice tilted, and their crowd goes nuts and just constantly pressuring your goaltender, and at some point the dam's going to break, you know?
I used to hate playing in that place. Used to hate
they're
playing.
They're very
loud.
They're very annoying. I can't stand those fans, actually, because I've been there a million times. I used to, you know, I was the beat reporter for the team, and they're very annoying.
Yeah, it was, for whatever reason. I don't know what it was. I don't think it was the fans, whatever.
It's just wildly loud, though.
It's very loud, but I usually like that. I don't know what it was about that place. Just did not like playing there.
All right, let's do the melange. 1-800-919-3776. People all lined up, so let's get to the call. Scott, Long Island. Scotty, you're on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
Good. What do you got?
Just thinking, as a Knicks fan, purely as a Knicks fan, but trying to look at this as unbiased as possible. The last 15, 20 seconds after Brunson hits the three, which was an incredible bounce off the rim, it was unbelievable, even went in. There was a lot of physicality. The ball gets inbounded. The Knicks are scrapping. There's a lot of physicality. There's a lot of pulling at the ball. I'm surprised, rather than crying that there was no timeout call, that players went to the floor, that the Philly team was not complaining, that there was no foul called, that in every case the Knicks got total ball and made no contact as players were going to the floor and so forth. And you believe that that was the truth, that it was always just ball?
I think it's
well, it doesn't matter what
couple,
we believe.
Couple things. Firstly,
it doesn't matter, Scott.
You're not a Knicks fan, right?
I am a Knicks fan.
You are? Okay, I'm surprised by that. Secondly,
I'm not a huge basketball fan.
No, that's fine.
As much as I used to be years ago.
I'm surprised that you're a Knicks fan, that you would have this tact. That's for starters. Secondly, and thanks for the call, Scott. This has been a real rough series. Like, they let a lot of stuff go. So if the game was called tightly and then all of a sudden they let that wild sequence at the end take place, I would be surprised. But the series, they've let them play the entirety of the series.
Right. You don't think, with as much as the Sixers complain, that the thought was that a foul wasn't called, we wouldn't hear about it already?
They're big complainers, too.
Right. So, I mean, they were more concerned that because initially the ball came out, and then he finally got possession of it. So as the ball comes out, he finally gets possession of it and then goes to the ground and tries to pass it. If Nick Nurse thought that a foul should be called as opposed to, oh, he was ignoring me when I was trying to take my timeout, we would have heard about it.
Well, how much is he going to complain about? I mean, you heard the broadcast. She's like, I mean, they knock him to the floor. Nothing's called.
All right, see, it's on again right now on Get Up. Nope, no timeout. Uh-oh, he's in trouble now.
Yeah,
nope.
He didn't take a timeout.
No, he doesn't take a timeout till the ball is out of Tyrese Maxey's hands on the ground as he goes to pass it.
Eric, Long Island. Hi, Eric.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Good. So just want to say, you know, I know that whatever, the Sixers were what? They were like a 7 or an 8 seed or whatever they are.
Seven, yeah.
Right. So, but they were 31-8 with Embiid. So this is a 1 or a 2 seed that we're playing if Embiid's on the court. So I don't know. I'm very calm. I mean, I think it's going to be tough. I could see this going 7, but if we could get by them, I don't see why you can't go into any series being confident, because that's not a 7 seed. You know, that's a much better team than a 7 seed. So crazy game. Glad we got the win, but I think it's going to be pretty tough.
What's going to be pretty tough?
The rest of the series. I mean, I feel lucky that we even got the first two. I'm happy. I'm ecstatic. But this is going to be a tough series the rest of the way.
It's
I don't
been
think
a tough
that...
series so far. Well, we'll see. I mean, if you can steal one game, then you're hopeful that you come back and you close it at home. Thanks for the call, Eric. Yeah, the first two games have been very tough. But you know what? I don't think the Knicks have played particularly well, and they still got two wins.
Yeah, right, which is a positive.
Huge
it's absolutely positive. A positive. It's going to be tough. These first two games have been tough.
Very tough.
You don't think that Jalen Brunson feels? You don't think that Jalen Brunson feels like this has been a tough go the first two games?
Yeah, they've been real physical with him,
right? And he's struggling. You can see the frustration. You can see his frustration,
and rightfully so, understandably so. Anthony, Port St. Lucie. Hi, Anthony.
Hey, what's going on, buddy? How you doing?
Good.
Okay, good. Yeah, I wanted to get into the Yankees game yesterday and a broader picture. Hunter Wendelstedt, he missed. There was 28. Balls outside the zone that we called strikes. And I think it is absolutely insane that the MLB hasn't gone to an automated strike system.
We've talked about it forever. It's absurd. But I can't listen to people. I mean, Anthony, thanks for the call. I can't listen to people call and complain about it where there's an easy solution about it.
I think the solution is going to be they're going to have the challenge system. Because this is one of those ones where the guys that are getting screwed, the hitters, would like the automatic strikes. Like, but there's also people, like some of the catchers, that say, if I have an automated strike zone...
Well, then good like framing catchers become irrelevant.
Right. And some of the pitchers do like the fact that they're like, you know early on, hey, I'm going to get this, you know, this outside strike. I'm going to get this inside strike.
You know
strike.
What else is very bad for the public opinion? Is the strike zone box thing
right.
they use. That's the worst. I mean, I love it. It's great. But if you're an umpire, it's got to be the worst thing because every call is now on display.
Every single call. And then you get the reports afterwards whether or not the umpires are good or not.
Right. Corey Greenwich. Hey, Cor. You're on 98.7, pal.
Hi, guys.
What's up, buddy?
This past weekend, I called Mel Kiper and Dari, and I asked them who's their dark horse team to draft up to get a wide receiver. And they said Buffalo. What do you guys think?
I mean, Buffalo desperately needs a wide receiver.
I could see that.
Yeah. Desperately need a wide receiver.
Yeah, but it's Buffalo. I mean, how far up are we talking about here?
Well, Buffalo's in the 20s. I don't know.
They get the 28th. They have the 28th pick.
I mean, you're not going to be able to move up to 9.
No, I wouldn't think so.
So, I don't know what they'll do. I'm
well,
sure.
Yeah, plus, is, I mean, Chicago's going to want to take, I mean, they got Caleb Williams at 1. If Adunze or one of the receivers is sitting there at 9.
I don't know what you do, but there's no way they could be able to move up and get one of the stud receivers.
I wouldn't think so.
Xavier Worthy, or they'll take the kid from Florida State. I mean, they'll get a legitimately good receiver.
Kid from Texas, too?
Well, that's Worthy, right?
No, Mitchell.
Oh, there's two from Texas then.
Yeah, Worthy's the one
that, as well, right?
Yeah, Worthy's the one that ran the 2-1.
Right.
In the 40. You know what the most interesting thing for me is?
He did not run a 2-1.
No, a 4-2-1, sorry.
Right.
A 4-2-1. No, 2-1. You wouldn't even be able to see him. I'm most interested to see where Penix ends up going.
Denver?
Well, because, I mean, a lot of them, you've seen him. You have some say second round, and then I just don't know how, with all this information coming out, that is the way he throws a football.
All right, the plane's going to crash. We got to get
oh, I didn't
no runway
that,
for this poor guy.
Sorry.
Raymond, I'm sorry. 3 stars.
Today's 3 stars.
I probably could use better choice of words there. It's okay.
Number 3.
Field Yates, thanks for joining us on your birthday, giving us all that draft insight. Draft in a couple of days. I can't wait.
Number 2.
You restraint, not calling Gundling, but somehow you still managed to turn on me.
Really, the two of you deserve each other. Carpe Omnia, we're going to go all in. His poop-eating team.
Mm-hmm.
Number 1.
I didn't curse.
Not there, but here you almost did.
Listen, Nick, if you are not...
I mean, that's nasty Nick with his email. Like, oh, you're going to talk Knicks all... Damn right we're going to talk Knicks all day. Great win by the New York basketball team. Knicks. Sorry,
right.
Nick.
You know what? I'm sorry we spent so much time on non-Knicks today, Nick. It's Rule 76.
No excuses, play like a champion. It's DPH or Rothenberg and...
Carpe Omnia, let's go Rangers.
98.7 ESPN.
You carry around the apartment? Like a
I'd like you to take him in your half bedroom and punish him.
Thanks for listening to the DPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN New York app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.